Hello and welcome to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. I'm your girlfriend who lives in Canada, Mickey Alexa.
I'm a hologram, a Kunsley.
And I am your lukewarm top piece?
Sure.
For some reason that sounds really moist.
Ew.
Yeah.
Or squidgy.
Ew. This is a...
I just want to call you a hot bottom.
This is a spoiler-free podcast for any episodes after the episode we are talking about, which we haven't seen beyond.
As you say, which it literally is. We can't fuck up this one.
Hooray! Yay! Today we are talking about Nepenthe.
What a beautiful planet. Holy fuck.
You know what? I think this suggests, and it kind of makes sense when we consider how dangerous outside the Federation is. Mm-hmm. I think they have retirement planets that are like higher security. And I think Nepenthe is one of those where it's like, this is mostly
Well, it sounded
where
like they had some security problems, though.
They had
saying.
Security problems, but they also had a house with installed shields.
I wonder if that's just because it's the fucking Troy Riker household. Like, you know,
also, those
shit.
Bitches don't fuck.
They're ex-military, of course they've got
Well, yeah,
shields.
But like, there's also that admiral that gets name-dropped a few times. That's like across the river.
Oh, that cookie captain guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just kind of get the feeling that, yeah, I'm sure that they have to deal with some stuff. They referenced the species that, if I recall, was in the animated Star Trek show from way back in the 70s. Okay. It's a house that's kitted out with not only shields, but also cloak sweeps.
Yeah,
and I bet it's just like, listen, when you retire, you get a log cabin. It seems to happen for every single one of these fucking people.
Admittedly, that was a beautiful log cabin.
Oh, it was gorgeous. But we're going to fill it with so much Federation Starfleet security tech.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, it's
I'm
like,
down with that. That's fine.
Yeah. No, it's like a
well,
safe
also,
house
I'm sorry.
Parent.
Deanna Troi is a, like, military, like, upper-level military person.
Yes.
Essentially. With a dignitary mother,
yeah.
And a father who was also in the military,
yeah,
you are going to do well.
Mm-hmm. And Riker is a high-level officer with a doppelganger who is
he's
going
to be on extra defense.
Yeah.
He's got an evil twin.
He's exactly. An evil scoundrel.
So like,
so if you want to get away with shit, just be like, oh, it's him.
Yeah. Who has ties to illegal and black
who is not
ops
dead.
Experiments? No, it's true.
He is not dead.
Yeah.
So the universe has a evil Riker still.
Is Thomas Riker confirmed not dead?
Actually, I think Thomas Riker dies.
Most of the month he did.
Yeah, I believe he was killed off screen.
Was it?
I couldn't remember if he died or if he ended up in prison.
It's as confirmed as any Star Trek book is confirmed. Let's say that.
Oh, it was a book one. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we begin with a flashback to when Jurati is having lunch outside the Daystrom Institute.
With Dick Tracy.
Exactly. She's approached by Commodore O, and we see the rest of the sequence in which Commodore O asks for her support and then shows her via mind meld.
No.
Apocalypse.
No, I'm sorry, and this is true of all Vulcans that I've known. Mentally rapes her.
Yeah,
it's not true of all Vulcans. Most of them ask permission. Come on.
But even if you ask permission, if you do not know the person, I think that is an intimate sharing of your mind that it would be very very forceful in a person who doesn't have those abilities.
I think
abilities.
No matter what, we can definitely
never
say she
never a stranger.
I have, but I was mentally prepared for it.
I think no matter what, we can definitely say that in this instance, she mind raped her. Because she didn't wait
she
for permission.
Put it
to
on.
No, she's just like, take this. By the way, Cylons are real. Here's a clip from the latest Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
That's like, not cool.
But this is what pissed me off.
No, like, that's all I want to say.
Yeah,
it's true.
No, it's true. It's true.
It is
true.
Very
it's
true,
a little
yeah.
bit like, ugh.
Well, I know. Yeah. It immediately should make you think less of O's character. Like, if she's the kind of person that would do that. But also, like, yeah, I know that, like, a mind meld. No, I know that
Spock
a mind meld.
Walk up to a person
well,
and be like,
we don't
fucking
know
take
if,
it.
We don't know if O is a Vulcan or a Romulan.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is don't we know that she is a Vulcan now? Because I thought only Vulcans could mind meld.
I think...
And that was a very clear, my mind to your mind, Vulcan to your Vulcan.
I would say yes, usually, but Romulans have always kind of been whatever we need, such as when they came up with the blind snow psychic Romulans, so that they could actually ape the Vulcan powers.
What? No, that was... No, that was...
Yeah, that was so that they could...
No, that was Andorians.
Oh, you're right. That was Andorians.
You cannot outdork my dorkiness.
The albino. The other solar albino.
Excuse me. There was not confirmed to be
I think she's a Vulcan, but I think it was very dickish what she did.
Yeah, no.
And I also, like, I know we talked a little earlier. I know that, like, you know, the general established shtick is that a mind meld isn't just like, look and see what happened. It's like, no, feel it. Like,
yeah.
Feel it as I'm feeling it. So it makes sense that Jurati would be traumatized, but like, that, you know, your nice little psychic vision of the future that's not explained how you got it instantly makes you go, what do you need me to do? Oh, kill a man I've had a romantic relationship with, not a problem.
Yeah.
Like, I don't trust, like,
I don't trust Jurati's judgment.
Yeah, her judgment is deeply flawed.
And she's fixing it now, obviously, by the end.
Yeah, like, she's fixing it now, but like, might be too little she too is late. A deeply naive character. For such an intelligent, and I actually kind of
she's
like,
book smart, not street smart. You know that person.
Yeah, and yeah. I like how they're playing that up a lot more. It is a Star Trek trope, but it's never been like this.
The only person impactful. Who can save her at this point is Soji.
Yeah.
If Soji doesn't save her, I don't care.
Well, no, she's got to save not just herself, Soji she's got to save some other fucking people to like, kind of bring herself back from what she's already done.
She needs to put right some shit.
So,
which she has started, but that's at the end of the episode, so we can't talk
exactly.
About
so, along with the mind meld, O gives her a pill that she has to chew, and
I love that detail.
Yeah, tiny little it's like
here.
Detail.
Here's a little microchip, and like, all right, I'm gonna put it in my mouth. Like, now chew that shit up. Like,
chew that. Oh. Yeah.
You know, no it's like way. Chewing on like a fucking aspirin or something gross. Like, yeah.
And so she's chewing away and crying. And it's just like, and then, this is how this show begins. That's fantastic.
Eating microchips and crying.
Cut to intro. But we get a great classic Trek nod as Picard and Soji arrive on the alien planet and are immediately confronted by a child with a bow and arrow, and it's just classic. Yeah, and face paint. And it's just classic Trek where it's like, yeah, if this was TOS, this would be the episode where it's just like, it's a planet full of children who think they're a native population.
How have you come here? I don't know, but I will say hello.
At some point, he'll slap the oldest child and go, adults have to grow up! You're gonna have to grow up! Actually, no, shit, that was an actual episode of TOS.
Have you tried a tomato?
Do you know where the terrible. Adults are? You're that's becoming the terrible. Adults!
Oh man, I'm so glad there's so much TOS I haven't seen.
Oh yeah, oh.
And it's like, I've had moments where I'm just like, I need more Star Trek, I've watched it all of them, but I still won't watch like some TOS.
TOS is great when you're reading something.
So when you're not paying any attention.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while you look up and you're like,
no, I don't know how you can do that.
Is this happening?
Yeah. You read with the television on and I think that's insanity. No, it's like words just colliding in my head.
I grew up in a household of 6 people. I understand insane chaos.
Nobody reads in your household.
I did. I was the only one. I was the quiet one.
What happened?
This is the quiet one.
I married you.
There you go.
Sure.
That's an excuse.
Picard almost seems to recognize her immediately. This is, in fact, Kestra.
Kestra, name drop. Troy's dead sister, / now her kid.
Yeah. So it's the daughter of Riker and Troy. And Picard, being his typical arrogant, stupid fucking self...
This whole walk-in is a travesty.
Oh, it is a mess. He's just like, I'm going to tell this child who this woman next to me is before I tell this woman who she is herself.
Yes.
So Soji finds out she's an android because Kestra, of course, goes, "You're an android?" When she finds out.
Because she's like, what, 12? Like, why is she not? Exactly. Picard, Jesus Christ, you're obviously 90. You should have a moment
here. She's been raised her entire life with legends of Data the android. So, of course, she's just going to be like, oh my God.
Why would you not?
But Soji's just like, dead.
And she had a sister. What? Cat? Oh, yeah, she's dead.
And at this point, we come
back. By the way, we're almost at the house.
Yeah, we're almost at the house. This is just the fucking walk to the house.
Picard is playing the crotchety old character from Time's Arrow.
Yeah, no,
it's fair. He's like, oh!
He's just not making all the noises.
Soji admits that, you know what, this could all be the Matrix. This is probably all a mindfuck. I don't trust any of you.
Oh, she's cynical Sally at this point. She's not having it. Oh, it's
incredible.
Which is the most human thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, faced with that shit getting thrown at you.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we meet Troy, and then we meet
Such
Riker.
A moment, though. That was so sweet. First of all, Troy looks like she's doing great.
Well, here's a funny thing about the appearance of Troy. Martina Sirtis admitted on Twitter the other day that the reason that she kind of looks the same is, like, partly, is because that's the same wig from Nemesis. Because Marina, she stole the
amazing
fucking wig.
And she's just a like, hoot.
Oh, yeah.
She's a fucking hoot. She's hilarious. Good
she
for her.
She has taken on the mantle of, like, Trek aficionado.
Yeah.
That... Mm. The previous number one actually held from TOS to TNG.
Who?
Nimoy?
Huh? What are you talking about?
Troy's mother.
Oh, she wasn't number one. She was Nurse Chapel.
She is essentially number one.
Oh, stop. No. Number one is a literal character or a title for Riker.
Mm-hmm.
Or the dog.
There's enough number ones.
No, no, no.
We're practically littered
Pike
with number ones
original,
already.
No, in the Pike series, the original...
Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't played by Majel Barrett.
I know, but she was very Majel Barrett-esque.
But that's not number one. Number
you've been,
one
you've been
was
outvoted
number one.
Number one of my heart, but you are wrong on this one.
I'm saying Deanna Troi is a very nice continuation of that, like, strong female character with, like, a strong, like...
I'll fight you some more. She wasn't in the show at all. She was just constantly, like, being shown to be weak and being taken advantage of by the writers in terrible ways.
Yeah, Nurse Chapel.
I do like now
pretty,
that she's just, like, a lovely maternal person. Like,
yeah.
It's nice to see Deanna get some peace and quiet.
Oh, I think they finally gave her due this episode. Where it's like, oh, that's why you would have a ship's counselor. Because she has to tell you... Hard shit.
Oh, but when she first meets Picard and hugs him, and then her like, I can feel some shit powers take over, and she immediately starts to cry.
Yeah, oh,
she can
was
tell
fantastic.
Picard's in such a
it's
state.
Like, what's
it was like,
up?
Oh,
and it makes complete sense. Empathic
so sweet.
Powers.
Yeah.
Of course she would start to cry with all of that
shit.
Oh, and
you
shit.
Caught on to something. The bunnies.
The bunnies?
The poison bunnies?
No,
oh,
the
planet that it makes sense. Yeah, because Beta Zeds don't like being around predator animals because they can sense their thoughts and it spooks them and freaks them out.
God.
But they like little animals like bunnies because they're just kind of sweet and timid.
And they just kind of bounce
around. Beta Zeds are adorable.
Oh,
so
I know.
Cute when they're not lawn suitor.
Poor things.
Did you strip the poison sacs out of that rabbit, Kestra? What the fuck? That's great.
And you also get a really wonderful reconnection where... Riker's cooking.
Yeah.
Riker's cooking
throughout the entire episode.
Yeah, Riker's whole shtick was that he was feeding the family. That was great.
Although, what I really liked about Riker...
They seemed really happy.
That's the thing.
Nice.
They seemed really happy, but
despite...
it's all an act. And there's moments of barely contained rage from Riker, where, like, Not only when he starts near the end, he starts kind of giving it to Picard in a soft gloves kind of way, but as hard as Riker has ever.
He calls him arrogant, which is like
exactly.
He's the latest in a long stream of characters to call Picard arrogant, but like Riker called him arrogant. Wow.
So when Picard first walks in and Riker notices him, he stands back like defensively.
Mm.
So that's one thing, and like but he breaks and like. Hugs him, but it's like okay, and they played that up in the previews being like, how is he going to take it? How is he going to take it? When they're cooking the pizzas and they get into a slight argument, Riker like thrusts this ingredient under Picard's nose. But the way he does it is peak argument, super aggressive, but it's just like, smell this. Isn't that really nice? And then, you know, like later on, no, Riker has deep rage issues that he is just barely containing, and some of it is definitely directed at Picard.
Well, the last time we saw it was him getting married and moving off into his own world.
Well, it might have been, too. It might be a reaction to, you know, no spoilers here, but, like, losing his kid.
And it absolutely is. He's not dealing with all of this well, but I think he likewise seems to feel abandoned by Picard because, like, hey, you know who it would have really been nice to be around after we lost our kid, but you were off being sad because of your fucking shit?
At least it was clear that he has visited, though. Like, he knew Kestra, she knew him.
Yeah, but, like, when? Like,
it may have been, like, five years ago, but it was, like, not 15 years
ago. It wasn't the last time he went to the Romulan planet where there was a kid.
Years. But again, Picard arrogance.
Yeah.
So,
but it was so clear that they still love him so much. And that was, we needed a little bit of that because Picard's been living, like, he's been having a time.
He's been having a time.
There's some Romulans that love him, and that's really sweet, but also still kind of hard to bond with, so.
I like that he acknowledges that he's made a mistake even going there, though, and it's just like, you're right, I'm arrogant. And in my arrogance, where'd I go? I went to ruin your day. Because I've been hopping from one ruinous experience to another. Oh,
Deanna yelled at him, too.
Yeah, Deanna yelled at him.
Deanna yelled at him because he was a shit.
He was a shit.
Right to Soji's face.
And she actually went into, like mother...
And that's what she should... Her character should have been that, and when she was talking to Soji in the garden, that's what Deanna should have always been like. It's, I'm going to tell you some hard news.
Yeah.
I know exactly how you feel, because that's literally what I can do.
They finally figured out how to write Deanna Troi.
Yeah, it only took
27 years, and they finally figured it out. It was nice, because it was never Marina Sirtis' fault.
Yeah, no, so it's nice she did still the best play. She could.
Oh, right. And she made it a lovable character, despite horrible writing. Yeah. So, like,
my favorite is a split screen from a first series with Riker, Picard, and Troi in the Turbolift.
Yeah.
And the recent of Riker, Troi, and Picard in front of the barbecue. And it was like, so young, all three of them. And I was just like, oh, shit doesn't change, it just changes.
Yeah.
It was a nice little reunion episode. There was a lot I enjoyed. I felt so terrible for Space Legolas this episode, though.
Yes,
and Hugh. Oh my God, everything terrible happened.
Everything. Although we will get to that. First of all, we have to deal with an off screen death. So we find out that the Rikers had a son. He died. He was brilliant. He came out with a bunch of fake languages.
He sounded really annoying, to be honest.
He sounded like a super nerd.
Yeah. Thaddeus.
Thaddeus.
Why?
Because Riker's great 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 grandfather who fought for the Union was called Thaddeus, and that Thaddeus was saved by a Q.
Oh, but Q couldn't be bothered this time.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I did like that there's apparently more planets like the one in Insurrection where there's like regenerative properties to the planet. Just
general concept, like low level.
So like this planet's not only gorgeous, but like eating the food there will actually make you heal. Like,
yeah.
That's nice. Oh, sad though, like it's apparently super common that like some people in the Federation have never eaten unreplicated food.
I
always enjoy when they make that distinction too. They're like, no, it tastes perfectly great, the texture's fine, it's perfectly healthful, but here's the real thing and you'll notice.
And it's like
that was a nice little touch.
I do like when
there was a lot of food
pull back
references this episode,
which I think is what Star Trek always kind of pushed to the side, and it was nice to bring back like familiar characters.
Whenever they want to make human characters seem more human, or whenever they want to ground alien characters in their culture, they bring in food right away.
Yeah.
Thinking back, there's actually a lot of food related scenes. Even mostly like with
Odo and his little drinking.
Odo has discussions, yeah, about food.
Where he's just like, yeah, I just do this to make everybody else feel more comfortable around me.
Yeah, it's true.
They're like, that you would totally
DS9 have to, like, was good for that. They had a lot of... there's a surprising amount of meal breaks in DS9.
Right? Soji learns to trust reality after having a heart-to-heart with Troy. At some point, during a dinner scene, Picard's like, you have like incredible senses. You can tell if I'm lying. Just concentrate on it. You'll be able to see details like you wouldn't fucking believe.
One of my favorite moments happened before that, when Soji walked up to Riker, and before Riker introduced himself to her at all, he said something that intrigued her.
Oh, and I think she had a little head tilt. I think it was just the pizza intrigued her.
Oh, and that was
funny. It was just like a little data moment where you're like, oh.
It was a little too obvious because we haven't seen her make that gesture much before.
But that's what it... That's... Give me those little, like, cookie crumbs of Data. Because I know he's gone, and that's fine, but I need those gestures.
Fair. But yeah, Riker's all like, come on. Come on, Picard. Like,
who's that?
Listen, you don't have to tell me, because I'm gonna fucking tell you. And Riker, he lays it all out
so hard. That was great to see. He really needed that.
And like, that schooling also had that barely contained anger of, listen, you old sack of shit.
Same What's Riker nice, though, is from that that's who things,
he
though.
Would accept yeah, it and learn
exact
from.
Exact same Riker that was just like, no,
no,
you're wrong.
But Picard's not going to accept any fucking admiral telling him he's arrogant or anyone like that. Like, no, it had to be Will.
It had to be Will, yeah.
Even Raffi, he kind of let it roll off his shoulders.
I like how early on Will was like, what did I tell you? If you get involved with Romulans... You're going to be neck deep in them the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Also, you know, like, the first person who gets blamed is the fucking hero, you know? Like, of course you're in shit. Mm-hmm. I told you. Yeah. He said something along the lines of, like, oh, no good deed goes unpunished. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, so of course you're in shit. And I told you you'd be in shit. And now where are you? Shit. Welcome to my house.
And I'm sorry, after Nemesis, when... Literally, you've lost one of your most valuable staff members. Like,
no,
I'm sorry, Dale.
No, I'm sorry, your most valuable staff member.
Realistically,
you can replace that entire bridge with Data. Just one Data.
And have.
Deanna doesn't really do anything back in those days, so she doesn't even need to be there.
She landed the saucer section.
She crashed the saucer section.
It got to the ground. It.
All you need is Geordi so that he has someone to talk to, and that's it.
Spot can serve that.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, Spot. Probably like the 17th spot at this point. Everyone is you know, fantastic now. They understand. Soji accepts their friends.
Big Antenna.
Yeah. She describes the dream, and Kestra... sends the details to her friend, the crazy captain from the other lake that everyone thinks is a blowhard idiot.
Oh, Infinity Lake, the most boringly named place you've ever heard of.
And he fires back with the exact location, showing that apparently he's actually like this super captain that we've never heard of before. And I so want to hear his adventures of like, oh yeah, yeah, Picard, yeah. Yeah, I guess if you like safe adventures.
Kirk, I guess if you like wasting your time with like boring little shop thieves like Harry Mudd, sure.
Sure, yeah, no, I mean, you know, Harry's...
Oh, no, Mudd was Kirk, wasn't he?
Yeah, oh, yes. Mudd
who
was Kirk.
I guess. Who was the annoying time-traveling one we talked
about? Oh, Rasmussen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Berlinghoff Rasmussen.
Berlinghoff Rasmussen? Oh, you didn't spot him the second he arrived?
Really, though, what story are you going to have? Like, oh, Picard, yeah, him and his safe adventures with the Q and the Borg, I guess. Meanwhile, I was busy dealing with what? What do you got that's going to outrank the Q and the Borg?
Well, that's what I wanted. I just wanted to be like, the Q? What, you didn't just tell him to piss off? You could do that?
Yeah.
I just never thought of that.
I just took the Sisko approach and punched him in the face and he left. I love that. The Sisko punches him in the face and he leaves.
I'm
comes
not
back.
Picard.
Are we back to Agnes's scene yet?
We are indeed about to get there. So Nerissa is interrogating Hugh and just murdering XBs and going, ha ha.
Yeah, murdering all the XBs just without a thought.
And we get a little bit of wonderful diplomatic information in which she cannot murder Hugh.
Because they have a treaty with the Federation and he's a Federation citizen. I loved that.
I'm amazed that the Tal Shiar, let alone the Zavet, would just be like, we can't violate this.
But I guess they normally would be dignitary, though. Like, he holds the power.
He's got to be a bit higher.
Oh, sure, but I'm sure she could be like, he fell off a crevice. You know how it is.
Mm. Yeah, but imagine the Romulans back in the day when they were, like, powerful and had a home planet were averse to scandal. Imagine now. They're like, things are too precarious. We don't need Federation dignitaries falling off shit.
That's like,
terrible, bland character whose name I cannot remember. Behave
Nerissa. I did write it down. It's Nerissa. And it's even like a boring name Star Trek-wise.
Yeah.
So
just take Narek and then put a feminine sounding end on it. Let's cross it with Melissa.
Melissa. Oh, she's such a Melissa. So she leaves Hugh to weep.
Even Romulans have Melissas.
God. They don't have any Karens. They were all left behind on Romulus.
So she leaves Hugh to weep and he's just sitting there surrounded by dead XBs going, and Eleanor
where
arrives.
Was fucking Space Legless for
right?
all that?
He just pops up after.
He's like, oh, there you are.
I am so sorry. I
had the trots real bad. I was just bent over back there around the corner. What happened? Did I miss anything? Oh, everyone's been killed.
I've never had replicator food before. Oh, God. So they
who eats a tomato like that? Also, like
oh, I know. Like, come on.
Everybody who loves tomatoes, shut up.
No, it wasn't even held sideways like an apple.
It was like straight up and down. Like,
yeah.
I'm biting from with like the core and the stem.
Yeah,
it was real weird.
Like, they're not even eating it like an apple. No. I completely understand eating it like an apple.
Yeah, yeah.
That was some weird fucking corn
like,
shit.
I've never actually even seen a real tomato before. I've never been to a grocery store.
Maybe she eats orchids that way.
Maybe she's 3 years old and she's stupid. She's not.
Maybe they don't have grocery stores.
Probably not.
Yeah, but still, like... I'm
sorry, you have some little markets and things.
Well, not only that, but I'm sorry, you work at the Daystrom Institute. At some point, someone has like brought you to a dinner that you had to attend.
She doesn't. Dodge,
oh, you're
Dodge
right, Dodge. Yeah, no. No, my mistake. No, you were right. You were right. So they leave because Hugh's like, we have to get to the Queen's cell and fuck them up.
Mm.
Hate the Tal Shiar. Hate them. And they come around a corner and get into a fight. And Nerissa tricks Elnor into throwing one of his cool blades right into Hugh's throat.
Mm-hmm.
God
that
damn
was
it.
So sad. He was so sweet.
And like, poor Elnor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you can't.
Elnor was having a time by the end of that episode.
God,
he was upset.
Damn it. The poor
well,
dude.
You've gone from...
Where did he get that little beeper for Seven? Did she eat that with him?
I'm guessing Picard gave it to him. And in the moment
I
of like...
They should have showed it. They didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think they showed it.
That was a little confusing.
Because Picard got it, and I'm assuming at one point he's like, no, you need to stay here, but fucking take this, because...
It just would have been nice to
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
Yeah, I
feel like anyway, yeah.
So he was like, you need to do this thing, but of course you need an actual living XB or Borg to access it.
I don't even know where there was another living XB around.
I wonder
somewhere. Where
you could find them here.
I'm glad she's coming back again already. So it's been so nice. As much as Patrick Stewart's been blowing me away every fucking episode, like
Jerry Ryan
made me real happy too.
And I love that she's not a young Star Trek person either. She's like 52.
Yeah.
Playing a ex-Borg in sci-fi as
playing
a ranger.
Yeah.
And like, that's not... Like, she's playing the coolest Kirk.
I think part of in that the, is
in
to like kind the, of
in that role.
I think part I think of that is to like take back up. Her character's authenticity too, though, because having her Kurt in her was. Exoskeleton nonsense okay. uniform and
yeah.
its posture correcting high heels was God, such a goddamn reach it. That it was like okay. So and now let's just let her be cool.
And I mean, she's more Kirk in, like, the like, rebel.
Yeah,
Where Kirk was like, we'll do this thing.
Kirk's just irresponsible.
But yeah. It's true. So is Seven. Seven is extremely irresponsible. She just killed...
No!
I think she's very irresponsible.
Like, very irresponsible?
No, very responsible.
Thank you, that's what I was going to say.
She's responsible, but, like, she's doing it irresponsibly in, like,
no,
in the fact...
No, bitch needs to die.
No, it's a neutral zone. There is no, like... There's no this law. This is the law.
Yeah, it's
but,
not like being a vigilante.
But she's Kirk in that way, though.
Oh, okay, but, like, Kirk was super litigious.
Only when it suited.
Fair, but still, she's not being like, it suits me to litigate you now that we have you arrested, or I have proof that you did this, or you admitted that
no, you killed my child, you died.
Yeah, so she walked in with a machine gun and fucking killed
her. And that's how you have to operate in the neutral zone. It's the neutral zone, bitch.
Neutral zone?
It ain't neutral.
So yeah, Elnor...
But it's zone.
Terrible. Elnor sends an SOS to Seven, and we cut to Girardi acting increasingly weird.
This is after she's had yet another psychological emergency.
Yeah.
She had a nice little bonding moment.
Auntie Raffi says that she'll get her something, and she presumes,
I'll
get her high.
Raffi is impossible not to like.
Yeah, no, it's true.
She just
brought cake to a sad person.
But the character is adorable.
I love that Girardi admits that there's two levels to the, or two different levels to the joke. There's the three, I guess, that when she's sad, she wants to eat red velvet cake. She ate three pieces far too fast. And when she vomited up three pieces of red velvet cake.
The captain's like, is that blood?
Because
no.
It looks like
it did, yeah.
Blood is spewing out her mouth.
It's like,
and it's just, oh yeah.
No,
red
she's
velvet
been
cake.
Hoeing into the red velvet. That's great. And then, poisons herself with tracker obliterating whatever the hell.
So coma. She's in a coma that right after Rios, first of all, says, like, you know, I don't trust... Raffi.
Yeah.
It's like, Raffi.
Yeah.
Raffi. And like, it takes him a little bit too long, I think, to be like, wait a minute. You!
Well, he's all confused because he's a little dickmatized from the last episode.
Yeah,
so,
this is true.
Which, really, you just murdered your former lover and your psychological response. Well, I guess everybody responds in weird ways, but, like, and the captain is legit very hot, so.
Yeah.
He was also
plus, that was a great line, like, I've never banged a captain before. Like, well, I recommend it. You know what? Just for that, I will.
Reels. He's the best.
And that's the real
Invite
Starfleet.
Invite some holograms along.
That's the real universe that's not Starfleet. If you're on a fucking ship going somewhere with a random captain, you'd
captain.
Be like, ooh.
Yeah. So the reason that she puts herself into a comatose state with an antitoxin is because they're trying to jump away and follow Picard, but they keep getting tracked by what we know is Narek in a ship, and they think they just know that it's a Tal Shiar ship.
Well, exactly, but that's enough to show her that O is in league with the Tal Shiar.
Exactly, and so she essentially almost kills herself to finally get out from it after screaming at them just to turn around. So I do like that she's like, I'm not a traitor, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
What's
I
up
like
back
that.
There? Is Agnes throwing up again? Yes, but I'm more concerned that she's in a coma.
She's in a coma.
But man,
what?
All of the holograms are so great.
Yeah.
So sassy.
I like that the hologram always seems to come on, look around, and halfway through the spiel, you're like, what the hell is happening?
How often did that happen to the doctor, though? What is the nature of the medical?
Oh my god!
You know what? I'm going to jump ahead a little bit with my make it so.
Yeah?
I want Guinan
We're
to,
almost there.
Anyway. I want Guinan to live on a world where she's nurturing future Datas.
No, like she's planting Datas. There's a field of Datas, and when they finally get above boot level, they just walk out. You don't even have to, like,
But, like, I just want Guinan to be, like, the mayor of Data City.
Mayor of Data City.
Just be like, no, but, like, It's a new life. It's a new life that could change and grow, and maybe the doctor who is a hologram could be there.
You're fun when you're drunk.
Oh my god. Do you want to take him home?
The possibilities are endless in Star Trek. Yeah. Shut up.
I wouldn't dare get in between you two.
I don't know. I've heard it's a comfortable spot to be from a few people.
Actually, we are, though, at Make It So. So
I thought we were pretty much at the end of Make It So.
Yeah, when she goes into a coma, that's...
My Make It So is to get everyone back together again, because I hate when stories separate the people that they've got you to become emotionally attached to.
Where the hell have the two ex-Tal Shiars been? Like, yeah. I know that they're on Chateau Picard, but, like, maybe...
No, not them. I mean... Space Legolas is separated from La Serena, is separated from Picard, and what's-her-name, like, Soji, everyone's all over the map right now.
Well, they're gonna...
I also feel like Picard treats those Romulans as his family.
Yes.
And he would not ever ask them to leave Earth. And I don't think they would. I think...
No, it's true, because they retired... They left all that behind. They are just like they
the refugees on Earth.
My Make It So is less a demand and more a hope, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, I had it there and then it.
Did I give a Make It So really early this episode or last episode?
Last episode, I want to
say. Oh, good. So I have another Make It So this episode. I should probably think of one.
Yeah. Oh my god. I can't believe I've completely spaced on what my Make It So was.
I've got one while you're...
Then you go first. Right. Go
if
see
we're
if
gonna
I
be
remember.
Bringing back 7 of 9 again next episode, which the teaser looks really cool.
Yeah.
Looks like the Borg cube is gonna start waking up and being insane.
That's what my question was, is okay, what is the plan with the Borg cube?
If you're going to bring a Borg cube into the storyline, that Borg cube is eventually going to rebel.
That's the biggest fucking Chekhov's gun since Chekhov.
Exactly, I know. It's Chekhov's cube, for fuck's sake. It's terrifying. You can't show that sign that there hasn't been an assimilation in like 16 years and tell me that assimilations are coming.
We need
assimilations. Could it be a... less aggressive.
Yeah, so it's not like into the hive mind. It's into
it's gonna be like
it's
a malfunctioning, fritzing. Yeah.
Like frantically being like, whoa, oh
yeah.
Like some hive democracy where like
It's gonna be neat.
Yeah.
Oh, like that, like the reformed Borgs on Voyager.
Yeah.
Yet another actually great Voyager episode. One of the few really great Voyager
episodes.
That's
the thing. They did have good ones. I recently re-saw
and that's what
the
an
original
XP
7
is,
ones.
Kind of, like that's a Delta Quadrant XP.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah. Oh, they could come back too, for that matter.
Oh, they would come back. Because think about...
I don't expect us to ever have, in Picard, any connection with the actual collective.
No.
I think what's going to happen on this cube, you're right, it's not going to connect back to the collective. It's just going to go fucked locally.
Yeah, it's going to do its own very
We've overused
thing.
The Borg collective.
I would like to understand in the same galactic way that I'm intrigued by how more connected everything is because of time and because of space and people connecting and all that. I really want to understand how destructive the Janeway... thing was to the Borg, and that may explain a lot more 7.
Yeah.
Like, it might explain a bit more, oh, thank you for saving me, but didn't you just kill
everything?
Oh,
if Janeway essentially genocided the Borg, then 7 would be pretty pissed.
She'd
yeah.
be pretty
and, like,
pissed.
She would look at Starfleet being like...
That would include Unimatrix Zero Borg. Like...
No, the Unimatrix Zero Borgs were all destroyed when the Unimatrix Zero was... They were like
they were all sentient on their own.
No, they were blank slated
they would wake up
in the end
because of the Klingon guy in the sphere. He showed up
in
sure
the
sphere and helped
them quietly sentient on their own cubes.
Well,
from what I remember, but anyway,
that'd be cool. Well, who knows?
I still don't think I gave a. Anyway, if we're getting Seven back, I want to hear a little more of Seven's backstory, what's been going on with her, which obviously we will.
Yeah.
But that should give us some fun. Like, I want some nice little info drops of, like, you know, she hasn't spoken to Janeway in, like, 18 years because she's so pissed at her or something like that kind of shit.
Like, don't show the character, but, like, have her, like... just fucking venting with some...
Tom and B'Elanna moved to some boring suburban Federation planet.
Who the fuck cares? And this person was dealing with shit.
Yeah, Chakotay and Harry Kim finally stopped running from each other. And they, you know, bought a house in Key West.
Tuvok finally died of that disease.
Although Tuvok him and Neelix... Went back to Vulcan him and was Neelix just actually born. Had a child
That's
together.
That's what he did. Ugh.
They called it Tuvok.
Neelix. I hate it.
I hate it.
Oh, and with that, thank you so much for listening to Please Won't You Shut Up.
I hate it.
I hate it. The Star Trek podcast.
Two weeks or just the general.
I hate it. I hate it.
A Star Trek Picard podcast. If you enjoyed this, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you hated it. If you're watching this on YouTube, please ding the thing for more updates.
You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/mygenderiscinema.
Yeah, don't forget to visit Here You Go Productions on Patreon, where you will find this and other podcasts, videos, plus much, much more. And please show your support by pledging as little as $1 a month so we can keep bringing these shows to you. Until next time, to absent friends...
Yeah.
I'm still not saying anything. I don't know what your reaction was to that one.
I have the hiccups. I'm trying not to hiccup. And it just had to come out in that way.
It was a Ferengi sex roar. It's how they...
Why was that never written into Quark's dialogue?
It's a Ferengi sex roar.
You're really bringing the Liquidator Brunt to the
like it. I love Liquidator Brunt's voice. It's so just
FCA.